This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Tampa Bay's libertarian voice. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and friend, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning, the 25th, I hope.
Let's go with Friday.
Yeah, that'd be a little closer to the weekend. Fair enough. Hey, we're going to be chatting with Giancarlo Canapero of the Heritage Foundation, just a few minutes. Now, why are we doing that? Well, California wants to make presidential candidates provide 5 years of tax returns before they get on the Golden States ballot. Is that fair? Or is that just a shot at Trump? Well, you know it's a shot at Trump. They want him to release his taxes. They're just dying to see them. So we're going to talk with Giancarlo about all of that and see if it's going to go anywhere. And another day, another impeachment threat by the Democrats. This time, of course, it's a call to Ukraine's president. As Trump says, I'm going to release the entire phone call, unredacted today, and then we'll go from there. So we're going to talk about all of that with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi. I bet he's got a few things to say about that, and things to say about a lot of things. So stay tuned for that as well. Boy, oh boy, what a show we got for you today. And we've got in our ultimate top 10, our Freedom Works ultimate top 10, the top 10 most ridiculous taxes you've ever heard of that have come out of different countries. You'll get a kick out of that as well. Now, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, guys, the best haircut waits for you at Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It is on Overcast Drive, just north of Route 580 Main Street. At that intersection, just take a north turn, and there it is, the Overcast Plaza, and you will see Andrew's Barbershop. There's a big stoplight there. It's red in the window. If it says red, it means, boy, we're busy. If it says yellow, it means you'll wait just a couple of minutes. And if it says green, it's like, come on in, you're going to get a haircut right away. But I'll tell you what, when you go in there, you're going to get a great haircut at a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. And don't forget to listen to us at any time. If you have a computer or any way to get on the internet, go to ourfreedomworks.com and you will see that you can listen to any of our shows. Big Ed has all of our shows on podcast. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, we got a lot of things going on right now. I guess around 2 o'clock, Trump is going to release the complete unredacted phone conversation that he had with the president of Ukraine. First of all, that will set a very bad precedent, will it not? And I mean precedent, C-E-D-E-N-T. Because now, can a president and some world leader talk without worrying that they're going to have their conversation plastered all over the newspapers? That's going to inhibit real discussion. Now, they're going to border this particular allowance. It's kind of a one-time thing, apparently. But a senior Trump official has also told Fox News, they told him late last night, they will release a document showing that whistleblower who levied the complaint, the accusation against Trump about his talks with the Ukraine president, had a political bias. Oh, no kidding. Do you think a whistleblower like this would be a fan of Donald Trump? I don't think so. He had a political bias, apparently, in favor of a rival candidate, whoever that is. Now, here's the deal. There are a bunch of Trump's associates that are in on the phone call when he was making it with the president of Ukraine, and they take notes. I don't know if it was recorded. I don't think it was. But you got like four people taking notes on the conversation. So Trump is apparently going to send it all out. Let them take a peek at it. You know he wouldn't do it unless it makes him look good. I mean, if he had really said something bad, do you think he'd send an unredacted conversation out? I don't think so. So he's going to send it out around 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'd like to know who the whistleblower is. Apparently, the whistleblower never actually heard the phone call. Now, can you believe a whistleblower saying, hey, I got some bad news about the president?
It's just a guy with a whistle.
Now, yeah.
Didn't hear anything. He just had a whistle.
That's correct. He has a whistle, and he just likes blowing
the
whistle.
So we'll call him whistleblower.
Yes. That's it. Guy didn't hear the conversation. Nowhere near the conversation. But he heard it second or third hand, which I guess makes him an expert. So now, the Democrats are running around again with their hair on fire, and Nancy Pelosi shows up to say that we're having an impeachment inquiry, an official one. All the others that we've been doing for the past 2 years are unofficial. This one's official. I mean, she couldn't even stop laughing. You know, she had a smirk on her face when she was saying it.
That's her teeth. They keep shifting.
Yeah, they were about to fall out. But not only that, I think she's getting a big kick out of this. She said, this is sad. It's sad with her, the corners of her mouth turned up. I mean, so this has become really great, great political theater. And for us, it provides all kinds of fun. I don't have to dig too deep for stories when this is going on all the time. All we do is talk about poor Donald Trump and what is the most recent scandal.
Can you imagine if all politicians' phone calls were recorded?
It would really be something, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Now, we're going to talk with Andrew and his barber pole a little later in the show about all of this. I can't wait to hear what Andrew has to say. But you know, in the long run, that Joe Biden and his son, Hunter, we're going to talk about that too. And some of the things that this Hunter Biden is all about. And I don't think it bodes well for Joe Biden. I really don't. Okay, let us take our break. And when we come back, California wants to have a law that you got to release the last 5 years of your tax returns if you want to run for president in that state. Is that going to hold up? We'll find out.
Nothing that is wrong, wanting you to stay here with me. I know you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Has this become an endless summer? Escape to the land of enchantment. Santa Fe Tiles Party at Dunedin Fine Arts Center, September 27th. Cool off with tequila libations. Celebrate with multicultural music and dance. Sample Southwestern cuisine. View Georgia O'Keeffe and contemporary Native American artists. Many surprises await. Tickets are limited. Buy online at dfac.org. Scroll to upcoming events or call 727-877-0127. That's 727-877-0127.
MyPillow's best offer ever. Get a two-pack of MyPillow Premium for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 1-800-954-9168. Use promo code BILL. That's 1-800-954-9168 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code BILL.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhan's the gal who cares for the caregiver.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you very much for being with us on this Wednesday. It's a nice day in Tampa Bay, by the way. Real nice. We've had great weather the last several days here. Delighted to have Giancarlo Canaparo, a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, join us. We're going to talk with him about this new law in California that requires a presidential candidate to show 5 years of tax returns to be eligible to be on the ballot, the primary ballot. Giancarlo, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Paul, thanks for having me.
I would be remiss if I did not first ask you, with all this trouble going on and swirling around in Washington and this phone call with the Ukrainian president, now they're going to release the, totally unredacted notes of the phone call. Do you have any thoughts about all of this? Is this thing, in your opinion, going to lead to an impeachment?
Well, I'll be very curious to see what's in the record and what the IG report says, and it looks like the whistleblower is going to testify. I'll wait to reserve judgment till I get to see those documents. The one thing that strikes me, though, is that, you know, I haven't seen those documents, you haven't seen those documents, and neither have the Democrats in Congress. So it seems they might be out ahead of their skis.
You would think so. In fact, just before Nancy Pelosi got in front of a microphone yesterday, Trump announces he's going to release the full unredacted conversation with Ukraine's president. I guess she had already set this thing up. But it looked kind of funny for him to say that and then her to come out and announce that they are going to have an official. I guess everything else before this was an unofficial impeachment inquiry.
Also,
did you notice
also,
that?
I did. I'm also a little curious about what makes it official.
Yes.
Now. We'll see. I mean, there are no congressional votes scheduled on an impeachment resolution, so I don't know that anything is official until that happens. But Pelosi has been working very hard to avoid having to put her members on the record with a vote. So, you know, I don't think it's official till they vote on anything. But, you know, she has a different idea.
Is she finally giving in to the far left portion of her party, do you think, with all of this?
You know, it is really hard to read this scenario. Part of me actually thinks that this might actually be, on her part, a delaying tactic, in that she realizes that the far left of the caucus is really pushing hard for this. So what she can do is say, we're going to launch an inquiry. And the way that an inquiry works is there various committees will gather information and pass it to the House Judiciary Committee, which will then recommend whether or not the full Congress should vote on a resolution. But the whole process of these investigations and then passing these investigations on to the Judiciary Committee to deliberate, this will, if the leadership of these committees wants it to, or if Pelosi wants it to, this can really delay that process. So it could be that she just wants to delay. She wants to keep the fever pitch up, but not actually do anything, and maybe stall until.
Yeah, that's very interesting perspective. We're talking with Giancarlo Canaparo, legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation, and we've brought him on actually to talk about something going on the other coast. The West Coast, where California is seeking to pass legislation that will force any presidential candidate to show 5 years of tax returns. Now, Giancarlo, it sounds to me like this is a specifically engineered piece of legislation to throttle Donald Trump. What do you think?
That's absolutely right. The legislation is very clearly unconstitutional for two reasons. The first reason is the qualifications clause of the Constitution says that the president has to be a natural-born citizen, 35 years old, and lived in the United States for 14 years. The Supreme Court has held that's the only qualifications that a president has to have. The reason for that, of course, is you don't want one state getting to pick who becomes the president by forbidding any other people anywhere else in the country from voting on someone that they don't think is qualified. So that's exactly what California has done. They've decided Donald Trump is not qualified because he has not released his tax returns, and so nobody should be able to vote for him for president.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it also violates the First Amendment because, remember, this is a primary ballot, right? So what, in this case, California has done is said to the Republican Party and all of its members, you don't get to pick the candidate of your choice for your primary because Governor Newsom, in his infinite wisdom, has decided that it's his responsibility to protect the rest of the country from, you know, candidates he thinks are not viable, not valid.
Now, a district court judge has blocked this thing from being enforced, but California has an option to appeal this to the Ninth Circuit. Do you think they will proceed with that appeal?
I think that Governor Newsom probably knows that this law is, and he probably knew at the time he passed or assigned it, that this law was not constitutional. But I think ultimately he doesn't care about that. I think he cares about keeping this political fight going as long as he can. So whether he appeals or whether he keeps fighting the district court, I think what will determine that for him is where can he make the most noise and where does he have the most opportunities to sort of showcase that he's, you know, really fighting against Trump with this law. In a way, I think it might actually, if that's his goal, he might actually not appeal yet. He might, the district court judge's injunction stopped the law from going into effect, but it's temporary. And so Governor Newsom has the option of staying in the district court and fighting it out there for longer. So I think ultimately the political calculation will determine whether he appeals or not the legal consideration.
We're talking with Giancarlo Canaparo, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, about this attempt in California to, for all practical purposes, to force Donald Trump to show us his tax returns for the last 5 years to get on their presidential primary ballot. Giancarlo, this is not the first time a state has attempted to impose additional, I guess you could call it, restrictions on president.
Right.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you to give us another example.
Sure. It's, in fact, not even the first time that California has tried to do this. A few years ago, California tried to pass this exact same law, and Governor Jerry Brown, the previous governor, wouldn't sign the bill because he said that he had serious constitutional concerns about this. And, of course, he was right. So he raised the point that, look, if we are going to require tax returns today, what happens if the political parties switch, right? What can Republicans demand of our candidates? For instance, birth certificates. Remember the whole birther movement around Obama's birth certificates, and he said, look, if we demand Trump's tax returns, you know, they could have demanded Obama's birth certificate. And that's not constitutional, so he wouldn't sign it. Other states have done similar things, and the Supreme Court has routinely struck down any requirement that any law that would impose a new qualification on the president besides those that the Constitution set.
Also, the appellate court out there used to be quite liberal, but it's starting to change its colors a little bit. So California might not have such an easy route as it once did.
That is true. Mm-hmm. There are two judicial nominees up in the Senate right now, and if they're confirmed, that will bring the Ninth Circuit into balance, 50-50 Democrat-Republican appointees.
Mm-hmm. But it's legislation like this that I guess there's the attempt in the state of New York also to get Trump to open up on his tax returns. And, of course, Donald Trump said, well, they're being audited right now, and otherwise I might do so. Well, I don't think people buy that. Donald Trump doesn't want people to see his personal taxes. I don't blame him. I don't want people to see mine, and it's none of their business. And I'm figuring this, if there's anything that Trump did wrong, which is really what they're trying to do, is to see if there's anything bad in there, you would think the IRS would find it over the years, right?
Oh, sure, certainly. And ultimately, this question is one for the voters, right? The voters voted President Trump into office knowing that they didn't get to see his tax returns. And you know what? They didn't care. If they decide now that they care, well, you know, they'll show that at the ballot. And it's really not for the political branches and certainly not for the courts to go imposing their judgment in place of the people's decision and the people's right to choose their own candidate.
I think especially the Democrats now, if they continued to kind of harass, whether it be at the state level or at the national level, they continue to harass Donald Trump. All they're doing is helping his chances. I think most people are looking at this. It's like when you just, even if you don't like somebody, if you see him being slapped around by somebody else for too long, you become sympathetic, you know?
Right. And that's, the polls show that there's really no appetite for impeachment among the people. So this puts the Democrats on the fringe with respect to public opinion.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like, in your opinion, California's not going to get very far. We're going to pretty much keep our restrictions rather clean on this, and we'll continue on in terms of these presidential situations, correct?
Yeah, right.
Very good. Well, Giancarlo, thank you so very much for being with us.
Paul, thank you for having me.
Oh, yes, and we'll look forward to having you on again down the road, my friend.
All right. Take care.
All right, sir. Giancarlo Canapero, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Very interesting. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci, and we're going to talk a little bit about Ukraine, Trump, Biden, and all kinds of things.
For the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high, must be the season. When that little light shines all around us, so let that feeling.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Baby, then let me be your love and tell you that.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us on this Wednesday, and delighted to have, as per usual, at this time on Wednesdays, the proprietor of the most important poll in the country, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. And Andrew, I just read here on the wire that they have released a transcript of President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president, and it shows that he was seeking a review of Biden's family dealings in Ukraine, but does not show that Trump explicitly was leveraging military aid as part of a quid pro quo. What do you think?
Oh, how dare them do anything like this? I'm sorry, I had to imitate that little girl.
Oh,
but anyway,
little girl, yes, you're talking about that lady that came and is chiding the entire country. Yeah.
They're ruining my retirement. No, listen, let me tell you what.
I think she's a little brat. I was hoping so.
I agree with you.
I was hoping a spitball would hit her. Go ahead.
She's a Hitler youth. But anyway, listen, these Democrats, they got their underwear so tight in a freaking knot. Trump is going to make 100% fools out of every one of them today, okay, with this transcript and the phone call. I didn't even hear it. I mean, you're the first one that, you know, acknowledged what was going on. But
yeah, it just got released.
Yeah, let me tell you something. They opened up a can of everything they try and do is going to boomerang. This one's going to hang Biden. You know that.
I'm beginning to think you may be right. And I was listening last night to Rudy Giuliani. He is a personal attorney of Trump. And he was very impassioned last night, talking about what Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, and the one that's, you know, kind of the center of all of this, what he's been up to. He's been making money. First of all, he has no experience.
This guy's a junkie.
In utility companies, and yet he becomes a board member of a utility company in Ukraine. Now, tell me why that is, and tell me his connection to Ukraine. Secondly, he is also now involved with an equity company in China making money, and he has no equity. Financial.
What I understand is he used to be a vacuum tester.
Well, there
he used to snort cocaine and stuff. He used to work for Eureka, vacuum cleaners. But anyway, listen. This is at a boomerang against them so freaking bad it's phenomenal. Let me tell you, Pelosi is not the Speaker of the House no more, my friend. She is not in charge. Mm-hmm. She gave to them four girls, okay? The fearsome foursome, whatever they call it.
The odd squad. The odd squad. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. She's not in control whatsoever. She knows what she has done is hanging the dust. She hung the Democrat Party yesterday. She hung them.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating because, as we said earlier on the show, we've been having apparently just unofficial impeachment inquiries up until now.
Well, that is an official
inquiry.
Now it's
official. Of course, that's a horse of a different color, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same thing, just a different word.
Yes.
Okay? Same thing, different word. Not going to go anywhere. Where are they going with it? The Senate's going to stop it anyway, even if they voted on it. But there's too many Democrats yet that aren't going to vote on it because they're in districts that Trump won. I'm telling you. And they'll be afraid for their reelection.
We're talking with Andrew, the master barber. Great.
It's going down, Paul. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
This is going to lead into all the indictments now. He broke the Democrat Party. They're broken.
Well,
okay, they're totally broken.
Before
Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just was going to say that prior to Nancy Pelosi announcing the official inquiry, we had Joe Biden, who came to the mic. And did you notice he read a statement about how terrible Donald Trump is in doing all of this, but he wouldn't take any questions. He walked right away after that.
Oh, yeah, he walked right off. He knew better.
You know?
He knew better. What is he, 77 years old, 78? He knew to get the hell out of there quick.
He got out of there quick, and they got him back to the rest home. So he can kind of, you know, get himself toughened up for the next time he has to make a speech, I guess.
Well, like I said, Paul, you know, they're doing nothing but infuriating the whole country. They're putting the country in danger. Because what other world leader is going to call Trump now and want to talk with him thinking they're bugged? Because you know somebody had to be listening in. I mean, this is somebody heard from this person to this person. It's a bunch of crap.
Apparently the whistleblower has his own agenda. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I heard he was very biased.
He's biased. Apparently pushing one of the other candidates, whether it's a Democrat or maybe a Republican. But why am I not surprised? Plus, he did not hear the conversation, and yet he's the whistleblower. Kind of strange.
Paul, you know, people that do this really need to be prosecuted. Okay, yes. look at the ruckus they're causing. Look at the taxpayer money they're spending. Now, how stupid are these freaking Democrats? The money they've been spending, look, they got to be spending over $60 million so far in the last 2.5 years trying to get something on Trump. What I don't understand is why aren't the Republicans all sticking together and started throwing subpoenas at all these people?
You know, at the same time that they're throwing all of this dust up about the phone call with the Ukrainian president, we've got the report coming out apparently from the administration's Department of Justice and a couple of other reports on what has been going on the other side of this Mueller investigation into the dossier and the attempts to infiltrate the Donald Trump campaign and find, you know, all of that subterfuge. So we may be hearing, hopefully within the next, I don't know, several weeks, what's going to go on with Comey.
That's right.
And some of these
I told you what's going to happen with that, Paul. This has got to last right through to the next election, okay? He's got to bring in the lower echelons, the chain of command, just like in the service. You had was Peter Stroke, Lisa Page, Orr, his wife, and Andrew McCabe. That's going to be your first people. I think Andrew McCabe is going to be the first one to get indicted. Once he gets indicted, he's going to sing like a canary. But that's got to go on for about 4 months. After that 4 months, they're going to throw the next indictments down. Mm-hmm. That'll be for James Clapper, John Brennan, Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch, and Bill Clinton. For the meeting on the tarmac that you know had to do with the fake dossier.
Right,
okay?
With the then Attorney
General.
Then it's
going to be them. Then about a month and a half before the election, I think you're going to see the creme de creme. I think you're going to see them go after Clinton. Now, if they go after Clinton, you know she's going to start singing about everybody. I think she'll even sing about Obama.
Oh,
but then
boy.
she might get suicided then. You don't know.
Wow. What a movie that would make. I want to go to another topic with you, Andrew. We're talking with, by the way, the proprietor of the Barber Pole and a shop that gives you the best haircut in Tampa Bay. It's in Dunedin, Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza. There's a new national survey, Andrew, that shows Elizabeth Warren now atop the Democratic field. This is from Quinnipiac poll people. Quinnipiac University. You never hear about Quinnipiac University until they have a poll, by the way. I don't even know where it is. But anyway, 27% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents polled said they favor Elizabeth Warren. 25% say it's Joe Biden. So Warren is now kind of, and this is nationwide. This isn't just from, you know, one state. Like Iowa or New Hampshire. So do you think Biden is just going to keep dropping, or do you think he's got still the opportunity to be the nominee? Do you have any feeling about any of that?
Yeah, Adam, first of all, I think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren, but I really think somebody else is still going to come out of the woodwork, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be any of the above that we're talking about.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it ain't going to be Cory Booker. He's about to announce that
longer... If it goes anywhere, I see Elizabeth Warren being the one. It'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
That'd be beautiful. Did you see Saturday night what happened with Trump?
What's that?
And the Prime Minister of India. Did you see that?
Well, I kind of like his costume. Go ahead.
The Prime Minister of India, Modi, I guess his name is.
Yes.
Modi.
Uh-huh.
He went into Houston, and he set this whole thing up for the Hindu Americans. I don't want to say American Indians because they're totally different.
Right.
Right? So I'm trying to say the Hindu Americans, okay,
mm-hmm.
So people know what I'm saying. But he came here and he wanted Trump at this. There were 50,000 Hindu Americans in the stadium in Houston.
Wow.
Listening to him. Him and Trump went around the whole place. And he just, the American Indians, or the Hindu Indians have got to vote for President Trump. 50,000 people, Paul.
That's good. In fact, he's got a good relationship with India, which, by the way, is the largest democracy in the world is India?
Yeah.
They are. And you're right. Look at all of the you call them Hindus, but they're Indians. They're from India.
Well, yeah, I don't want to say American Indians because it'll confuse people.
Well, let's just say Native Americans, which are not Indians, but the Indians.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
People of India ancestral background, people here in our country, and there's a good deal of them. They're usually very good professionals, let's be honest.
They're very well-educated. Well-educated. 95% of them are doctors, Paul.
They are. Hardworking engineers.
Engineers, very smart
doctors.
People.
So that's a very, and I guess there's a lot of them in Texas, right?
Yeah, I guess there must be 50,000 of them showed up.
Oh, my
goodness. That's a lot of people, Paul.
It
but
is.
But you notice the news didn't say nothing about that anywhere today.
No, there's not. Well, not only that, but Donald Trump addressed the UN Security Council, and he talked a great deal about what's going on in Iran. Normally, you and I, had it not been for this phone call, you and I would be talking about what Donald Trump had to say at the Security Council.
Well, I guess he was promoting a lot of nationalism. I didn't get to watch it. I didn't hear too much about it.
You know, it wasn't his best speech. It wasn't his best speech. He sounded a little bit, the tone was kind of, I don't know, he didn't have the energy he normally has. But I think he wanted to tone it down. I think that was intentional. Ed, did you hear any part of that speech that Donald Trump had before the Security Council when he was talking about Iran and everything?
I didn't. But the one thing I was wondering, maybe Andrew knows, is that this now official impeachment proceedings, do we get that as a discount opposed to the unofficial one, seeing how they've already started one?
Yeah. Well, you get your official impeachment
T-shirt. Is it the same
now.
Charge, though?
But you see, you were getting an unofficial impeachment T-shirt before.
This one is official.
You
now.
Have an yes. official T-shirt now, impeachment T-shirt.
And like Paul and I said earlier, I think from now on, all politicians' phone calls should be recorded.
There you go.
That's
let's,
right.
Let's
there
all
you
do
go.
It.
Record all of them. There and all their emails public.
Anything other than national security, we have nothing to hide. So
no.
let's put them all out there.
I know. This is ridiculous. And that's why a lot of people were worried about allowing the release of this thing. But apparently, again, they've released the transcript. And although Trump did talk about the Biden family situation, there was not...
There was no bribe, was there?
There was no bribe there, apparently.
Okay, he can talk about anything he wants, don't you think?
There was a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution of his son by this attorney. Now, the attorney was apparently corrupt, but everybody, I think, in Ukraine, you got to worry about in terms of corruption.
And he's the one that did the bribing.
And the utility company turned out to be corrupt that Biden was on the board of. And Biden himself... No, it doesn't even know how to turn on a light switch, so I don't know how he gets on board a utility company, especially in the Ukraine. What's he doing there? Well, we know what he's doing there. We know what he's doing there when Biden went to the Ukraine. Hunter Biden accompanied him. That's when he got the job. We know that.
$50,000 a month he was being paid.
Yeah, and then did you know he's getting paid even more on this Chinese?
Chinese side, that's right.
That's even a bigger thing.
Right, so who bribed who here? All Trump said is, he didn't say, I want an investigation. He said, I want you to check into this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why should we give assistance, military assistance, $400 million? Why should we give $400 million to a country that's all corrupt and the money doesn't go where it's supposed to go?
I don't think we should give any money to them.
I don't think we should give any money to anybody other
exactly.
country. That's what I think. Charity begins at home.
Exactly.
But he didn't say he's stopping it because of anything else. He said he wasn't going to give the money because he wants the United Nations to start chipping in where they're supposed to. Because we've been flipping the bill for everybody for years.
Yeah, it's going to be another one of these things that backfires, I believe, on the Democrats. And it will probably reinforce the approval rating that Trump is now getting, as we talked about the other day, the Rasmussen poll.
Right.
It's got him over 52. It's 52% approval now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, specifically, if a president has 50% approval rating, he's in for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
I'm not too worried about that, but I want to start seeing them start hanging these people that have it coming.
What we're also seeing is basically karma at its best, or, you know, hypocrisy at its worst or best, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You remember during the election and everything, how they crawled up Trump's family with a pair of tweezers.
Oh.
And now that they were going after Biden's son, Biden said, this is disgusting.
You know what's crazy?
Right.
You read the paper, like the Tampa Bay Times will have it, and they'll talk about the phone call of Trump, but they will not get into why he was talking about Biden's son. They won't even talk about that. They won't bring it up in the story. And I mean,
well,
they intentionally.
It's a liberal newspaper.
Exactly.
Newspaper.
Exactly.
And you know who really gets me? That scumbag, Charlie Crist. Oh, I'm backing Sherman Pelvo. I cannot stand him. I would love to meet him face to face.
But don't
you have
no
idea.
Don't you think he's a man of principle?
I think he's a man of he's a moron
he
of a man.
Can't spell principle.
He has nothing. This guy's he's the scum of the earth. He'll do anything to make him look like he's found the people to follow him.
Now
he's gotta be kidding.
There's a politician that needs to be recorded.
Now there's a guy that's been in he's been in every party and then some. You know, the Republicans, the Democrats, independent, anything, you name it, as long as I get elected,
That's right.
I don't care.
That's right. Now, who's he working for? Morgan & Morgan, too.
Yeah.
Flip-flop Charlie.
Okay.
Flip.
Give me a break.
Andrew, my friend, it is always a delight. We're going to have a lot more to talk about again on Friday. And
you know it, Paul. Oh, you know it.
Oh, for sure. Thank you so much, my friend.
All right, my friend. You take care. Bye-bye.
Will do. Andrew, and again, best haircut in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Let us take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to talk about a new way to keep homeless people out of the hair of people in San Francisco. You're going to be surprised to hear about this.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart. 'Cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final 15 minutes of Freedom Works. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and we thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can hear any entire show of recent vintage if you go to our website, which is OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast, and you can listen to any show of recent vintage at your leisure, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, you know about the homeless situation in California, Seattle, and Portland, and L.A., and in San Francisco. Well, residents in San Francisco have a kind of unique way of getting some of the homeless away from their area. Residents of a side street in San Francisco are so fed up with all the tents being pitched on the sidewalks near their homes that they have trucked in boulders, big rocks, to discourage any camping. About two dozen of these massive rocks, each weighing about a couple hundred pounds, create barriers on a half-block stretch of Clinton Park. Now, that is a side street off Market and Dolores Streets in San Francisco. The boulders do not block the sidewalk, but they do limit the space available to set up those tents. One of the neighbors told a local TV station that his family received a letter from the neighborhood about a month ago addressing the sidewalk problem. And he said, a bunch of my neighbors, we all chipped in a few $100s, and I guess this is what they came up with. Boulders on the sidewalks. But apparently you can walk down the sidewalk. The way that they've got it done is you just can't set up those tents quite as easily. Now, the guy said that the area is frequented by drug users who will shoot up and stay overnight. Of course, that's the thing with any of these homeless people. You know, everything going wrong with them in their lives. The executive director of the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco said that this is an example of anti-homeless architecture. Anti-homeless architecture. Big boulders. He said, we have 1,200 people on the wait list for shelters. He said, people have nowhere to go, and now with the boulders, it's not going to be as good, going to be even worse. Now, while the city reportedly had no role in placing the boulders on the streets, the Public Works Department does not plan to get rid of the boulders. And the reason is they don't block people walking on the sidewalk. So, you know, I think that the city, despite all of the money that's being thrown into, you know, it's always, it's not government that ends up with solutions. You'd ever notice it? It's the people, or it's private markets, or the free market, or whatever you want to say. They come up with the best solutions. And apparently in San Francisco, boulders is one of them.
Couldn't they just turn the sprinklers on?
Yeah, you could do that too. But some of the homeless people would probably appreciate they shower. You know, they get a free shower that way. I'm not so sure. And that would cost you more, too, wouldn't it? You've got to run water to do it.
They'd have to be careful. They might get their cigarettes wet.
Yeah, that's true, too. You know, it's a sad situation that it comes to that. And golly knows, throwing money at the situation in all these cities is not working.
You know what I saw one time not too long ago? I saw a guy on the corner around here with a sign, homeless, hungry, whatever, and people giving money. Not food, money. And I happened to go to Walgreens, and there's a liquor store right next door. And where was he going? Into the liquor store.
Yeah, sure. I mean, let's be honest. You know, they're drug abusers generally, or they have mental issues.
Yeah.
They have. Doesn't mean that we should kick them.
No.
You know, kick them come. It's just that, first of all, we've talked about this many times. The best organizations that help people like that are private organizations, whether it's Catholic Charities, Jewish Relief Fund, all of these different philanthropic organizations, where the people that are actually working in those organizations do it out of their own heart, you know? They're not being paid to do it. It's not a government-run agency. So these people are doing it for the right reasons. And where were all of these situations and these people before we had the government involvement like we do today? You know, somehow it was working out. Somehow it was working out. But you would think we would learn that those cities, these democratically run cities that throw all of the, I don't know, multi-millions, billions of dollars towards all of this with no remedy, got to figure out there's something else you have to do because this is not working. It is not working. Okay, it is time for our top 10. We have a good one, Ed. This is the top 10 most ridiculous country taxes. There's a lot of ridiculous taxes in different countries, but somebody put together these. They're as good as any, in my opinion. So let's take a look at the top 10 most ridiculous country taxes. Number 10, we go to Uganda. First of all, I didn't know that they tax anybody in Uganda because I wasn't sure the government's running too efficiently, but they do. Uganda introduced a social media tax requiring citizens using social media sites like Facebook and Twitter to pay 200 shillings per day of usage. Well, that would cut down on the usage of those things, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 9. Tanzania. They have a tax on blogging. If you blog in Tanzania, you better be ready to dole out $440 a year to the government. A new law passed under the Electronic and Postal Communications Regulations requires all online content creators to get a license and pay an annual tax. Okay, number eight. There is a tax on dogs in Switzerland. That's cruel.
Wow.
If you live in Switzerland and own a dog, you better be paying your annual dog tax or your dog could get shot. Shot.
Wow.
Not taken away. The tax has no fixed rate. It's dependent on the size of your dog. So you got to get a little dog.
Everybody's
got
to keep their dogs on a diet. No, you can't eat.
That's correct. So don't bring a dog to Switzerland.
Will they come around and weigh him?
You know, it's scary to figure out how they even collect the tax. Number seven. This is Germany. They have a tax on religion in Germany. Really?
Oh.
Catholics and Protestant Germans expected to pay a certain tax on their income to fund their churches. But this is a government mandate. The tax amounts to 8 to 9% of their capital gains. It is collected by the government and then given out to the churches. Why can't they just allow the churches to directly collect it? That would make more sense and save all the bureaucrats. Okay, number six. I'm not surprised about this. Do you know that they have a breathing tax in Venezuela? Breathing tax. Venezuela actually does not tax people for breathing, per se. However, they've imposed a special, what they call breathing tax, of about $20 on passengers flying out of their airport in Caracas. The government says the tax was necessary to offset the cost of their air filtration systems at the airport.
What if you brought your own O2 tank?
I think you'll still be taxed. Uh-huh. It doesn't make any difference. As long as you breathe. Number three. Number five, actually. Smartphones and tablets are taxed in France. France has been considering the introduction of a tax on smartphones and tablets. It would be 1% of the value of the device and would be used to fund the creation of French films, music, and pictures. All right. Number four. Here in the United States, there is a tax. Did you know this? That when you file your income tax, if you pay a bribe, have stolen anything, or any other illegal income, you have to declare it. You really do. You really do. Even if are you a citizen with an illegal means of income? Well, you better make sure that you report it because they can go after you for not paying even on bribes.
It should be the stupid tax for the people that actually admit it.
The IRS demands anyone who receives a bribe report it as part of your income and pay the applicable tax. Okay. Number three. In Romania, witchcraft is being taxed. Witchcraft and fortune telling. Big business in Romania and they tax it. All right. Number two. Back to the U.S., marijuana. The IRS requires businesses that plant and sell marijuana to pay federal income tax on this illegal substance. The businesses do pay applicable state income taxes and marijuana sales taxes as well. All right, number one is Germany, television and radio. Germany has introduced a tax on citizens who own radios and TVs. It amounts to about $20 a month and is used to fund the state-owned television and radio network. It caused civil unrest recently when the government required everyone pay it, even if you don't have a TV or a radio. So there you go. All right, stay tuned for the Craft Beer Hour following the news with Kenny and Bill. You'll love the show. We'll be back Friday, and remember, freedom works.